Funding for this edition of Think Tank with Steve Adubato has been provided by Seton Hall University, inspiring great minds to greater purpose since 1856. PSEG Foundation, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, working to create a future where health is no longer a privilege, but a right. Braven Health, the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. RWJ Barnabas Health. Learn more at rwjbh.org. EJI Excellence in Medicine Awards, a New Jersey Health Foundation program. United Airlines. And by the Northward Center. Promotional support provided by NJBIA. We put business at the center. And by bestofnj.com. All New Jersey in one place.
Hey everyone, Steve Adubato. We're taping this program in late July 2026, the 25th day of remembrance of 9/11 is coming up. This will be seen before, be seen after. And a guy who understands and appreciates and is impacted by that day of remembrance more than just about anyone I know is John Feel. And he's with us now. John Feel is the author of this book, I Will Follow You Anywhere, the true story of the 9/11 responders who took on Congress. The foreword is by his good friend and colleague, John Stewart. And John Feel wrote this book with Charles Daly. Good to see you, my friend.
Hey, Steve, how are you? And thank you for having me.
Always. Hey, listen.
And you don't age.
Yeah, well, I've had some work done, but I'll leave that alone. So, hey, how about this? The 25th anniversary. You say, no, it's the 25th day of remembrance. What's the difference? Because there's a big one.
Yeah. As we get closer to that day, I find myself correcting a lot of people. And listen, some people will say, no matter what, an anniversary is something you celebrate. An anniversary, hey, how long have you been married? 20, 25, 30 years. But this is a day of remembrance. It's nothing to celebrate. This is to remember those that we lost and those that we continue to lose because of their illnesses. And I'm never going to say the word anniversary. It just doesn't register, and it doesn't sound right, and it doesn't offer enough empathy.
John, let me start with this. The title of the book, I Will Follow You Anywhere, as I read the book, and I know this, but because I've known you for a while, that comes from John Stewart. He said that to you. First of all, what was the context? And then while you're talking about this, talk about the relationship that you've developed with John Stewart, particularly battling and fighting and, quote, taking on, as the book says, the United States Congress, many members in the House and the Senate who said all the right things, we'll never forget, but getting them to do the right thing has been, will continue to be a very different challenge. I know it's a loaded question. Talk about the John Stewart piece.
So the title came from in 2019 when we got the bill passed in the Senate. We did a press conference because it was going on the president's desk a week later. And actually, tomorrow is the anniversary that the bill passed 7 years ago. And, you know,
Senator when you say Gillibrand, the bill, tell everyone what the bill is.
Well, this was to extend the Victims Compensation Fund from 2019 to 2090 to coincide with the World Trade Center Health Program, which is free healthcare until 2090. But it was affected by the aftermath of 9/11. Whether you're a responder, first responder, volunteer, or a survivor, which is those who lived and worked and went to school in Lower Manhattan, plus the Pentagon in Shanksville. When the bill passed the Senate 97-2, and the two who voted against were the normal suspects, Rand Paul and Mike Lee, Senator Gillibrand and Schumer spoke, and then I spoke, and John spoke after me. And when he was done, his last words were, I'll follow you anywhere. And it was an emotional embrace after that. Oddly, a year later, I asked him to come back to D.C. and to do the burn pits with me for veterans who were affected by burn pits around the world. And they had the same cancers and illnesses as those affected by 9/11. He didn't even hesitate. And to be honest, Steve, I followed him that time. I think he took everything he learned from the few years in D.C. with the 9/11 issues and really spearheaded that movement for the veterans. And, you know, that was a $300 billion healthcare bill.
Hey, John, do this. For those who don't know, and by the way, check out John's website. Check out his foundation. The website will be up for that as well. For people who don't know your story, and I know you don't even like to talk about, you'd like to focus on others who are survivors and who are on the pile and who are there and who continue to suffer. But it's important that people know that you were physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically impacted by your experience. Talk about that.
Yeah, again, my story pales in comparison to those who were sick and dying or who have died and suffered. On September 17th, around 5 p.m., about an hour left in my ship, roughly 8,000 pounds of steel crushed my left foot. I spent 11 weeks in the hospital with gangrene and sepsis. Wound up losing half of my left foot. I've had about 38 surgeries from 9/11 and 46 altogether now. Physically, I know I can't do what I used to. But I was diagnosed by four doctors with post-traumatic, and they basically told me, Steve, I was bad crazy, that I would never be productive, I wouldn't work well with others, I wouldn't be able to perform in a workforce.
Wow.
And yet, in 2005, I stopped taking medication, and I embraced my post-traumatic. And while I can't,
I'm sorry for interrupting you. Explain what people use the acronym PTSD. But make it clear what we're really talking about, particularly in your case. Please, I'm sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, you know, listen, nobody was programmed to see that kind of devastation and carnage and destruction on 9/11 and the days that followed during the cleanup and the recovery. And to see body parts, to smell death, it played havoc on men and women, uniform and non-uniform, on their minds. And it creates a lot of mental illness in the post-traumatic community. And, you know, I kind of think I'm a strong guy, but I wasn't that strong and I needed help. And I did EMDR for 2 years, which is a form of therapy. It's smell, touch, sound. I chose to do sound, and it helped me get back to some sort of normalcy. But those who fight post-traumatic PTSD, it will swallow you. It will engulf you, and it will control you for the rest of your life, no matter how long you live. I embrace it. I use it as my superpower. I smell better. I see better. I hear better. I have more empathy. I have more compassion. And if I see somebody suffering, I feel their pain, and it makes me want to get involved.
Hey, John, I'm curious about this. As you describe your own situation and you minimize it to the degree you just did, even though it's very real, as you know better than anyone. Talk about what others from your experience fighting with John Stewart and so many others who have been involved in this fight in Congress to keep the focus beyond the rhetoric to real action, policy, money, help. What are some folks, survivors, facing today?
Well, I wasn't diminishing my illness or my injury, but if I made it about myself, I would not have the body of the work that I have, and I would not have been able to help the masses. So when you direct an issue to yourself, you're in it for the wrong reason. But there's 153,000 people in the World Trade Center Health Program. 51,000 plus have a certified 9/11 related cancer. That's 1 in 3, Steve. 1 in 3 people are now affected by the aftermath of 9/11. Many of them, if they don't have cancer, have severe respiratory issues like COPD or pulmonary fibrosis. And, you know, and a lot of them suffer from post-traumatic, which is a stigma in the 9/11 community.
But John, I remember writing about this, and I don't want to pile on here. And excuse me for even using the word pile as it relates to the World Trade Center and 9/11. But I remember writing about this as a journalist, that I was stunned by what the then head of the Environmental Protection Agency, Christine Todd Whitman, the former governor of New Jersey, said when she was the head of the EPA. This is a direct quote. There's no paraphrasing. The air is safe to breathe and the water is okay to drink. That's the highest ranking government official, the federal government official, when 9/11 happened. And people were working to try to find survivors, to do what had to be done, which the rest of us can't even begin to imagine. Have you ever engaged a former governor and former head of the EPA, Christine Todd Whitman?
No, but when she said that, we knew she was lying. We knew she was disingenuous.
Was she lying? Or, I'm sorry, if not, was she lying or just didn't know? Or does not even make a difference?
She was lying. She was disingenuous, but so was the Mayor Giuliani and others who said the air was safe to breathe. Everything was okay. You know, from 9/11 to 9/15, it was a free-for-all. Everybody was working frantically, and then they fenced it off. And then you couldn't get into and out of Ground Zero without a badge, and we switched over to 12-hour shifts. So while we were working 12-hour shifts, just imagine how many people in lower Manhattan never left their apartments, had to go to work, had to go to school. I mean, they parked a barge next to Stuyvesant and High School, and these kids all got sick. I mean, you know, nobody ever said sorry for her lies, or nobody ever said sorry for, you know, years down the road that you guys got sick. But what they did was help create the World Trade Center Health Program. And they put that on the end of a stick like a carrot. And we had to chase it through the halls of Congress for 2 years, 20 years, two plus decades, and listen to them say, well, we don't have the money. Well, it's a New York issue. And then when we told them that their hallways are made out of marble, you can find the money. And that 434 out of 435 congressional districts were represented at Ground Zero during the 8-month cleanup. We squashed every excuse that they had not to help us. How dare them? You know, your first priority as an elected official is to serve and protect your constituents, and many of them fail. And let's not forget that the city sat on memos, they're called the Hardin memos.
The city of New York?
The city of New York sat on the Hardin memos that they just start to uncover now, that they knew that the air wasn't safe to breathe, the water wasn't safe to drink. And that has now gone through five administrations. Giuliani, Bloomberg, de Blasio, Adams, and now Mandani. And we're fighting Mandani now to get the rest of those memos. Look, hey, look, Steve, I made 388 trips to Washington, D.C., 2,400 meetings. Maybe I only would have had to make 112 trips. Maybe I only would have had to have 800 meetings.
If what, John?
If we knew the truth, if we knew the honest truth. You know, we walked the halls in the beginning of the 2000s, and we knew the absorption
duty. The
halls of Congress. We walked the halls of Congress in the early 2000s saying we were sick. The absorption through the nose, mouth, and skin with those toxins, each individual toxin, if you put it in a bottle, would have been, consult the physician, lungful of swallow with crossbones. We knew we were sick. Science caught up to us. We worked there, we ate there, we slept there, we went to the bathroom there, we cried there. We were exposed to those toxins and those who lived in lower Manhattan as well. And they lied. They flat out lied. And every time there's a deadline or a bill's going to expire, cancer doesn't expire. More and more people are getting sick now because of their age. The average age of the 9/11 responder was 38 years old on 9/11. On average, you're 64. And they don't have the same immune system.
To watch more Think Tank with Steve Adubato, find us online and follow us on social media.
This is the story of every flight to every place you'll ever have to take ever. There's the one you'll take across an ocean or back home to the kids' table. All the flights to all the places when all your friends get married in the same year. The work one, the fancy work one, the flights you'll take with them and the ones you'll take without them, and all the flights in between. Because when we built the world's biggest airline, we built it around you.
The North Ford Center continues to expand their services and outreach in Newark from the childhood years to the golden years, offering programs like preschool, youth leadership development, Casa Israel adult medical day program, our Family Success Center, as well as a gymnasium, and most recently, Hope House, a permanent home for adults with autism, supporting and nurturing our autism community, with Hope House 2 coming soon. The North Ward Center, we're here when you need us.
Public service, it's what we do. At the PSEG Foundation, through volunteer hours, partnerships, and our other contributions, we're committed to empowering communities. We work hand in hand with you, our neighbors, to educate young people, support research, environmental sustainability, and equitable opportunities, provide training and other services all over New Jersey and Long Island. Uplifting communities, that's what drives us, the PSEG Foundation.
Hey, John, by the way, remind people what you were doing professionally at the time when you did go to the World Trade Center to where this horrific, calling it an event makes no sense, this tragedy happened. You're talking about 12-hour shifts. What were you doing professionally?
Yeah, well, my MBA career didn't work out. So I was a supervisor in a demolition company, and I was in charge of removing debris from the pile without destroying the integrity of that pile in case, God forbid, we found somebody alive or something important that, you know, was needed to be taken out of that pile by three-letted companies like ATF, FBI, we were working on Building 7, which was one of the most secure buildings in the world, which had everybody's agency in there. And there was a lot of stuff that we found that, you know, it was pretty important.
Hey, John, do you think, and by the way, to as we do this program, the 22nd of July, together with a group of people up at Eagle, I don't know, have you ever visited Eagle Rock? Eagle Rock is over here. It's a memorial.
Yes.
Yeah, and to the county executive, Joe DiVincenzo, and others, for 25 years, we've been doing this remembrance. And I will make sure, as I emcee the event, I do not in any way call it an anniversary. John is, and the rest of us, it's a day of remembrance. There are survivors, there are family members who are there who lost loved ones. And we get to talk to those folks and try to understand all these years later. You said cancer doesn't stop, neither does the pain and suffering. What's your interaction been? Trust me, there's a question here, John. What has your interaction been with family members of those who are either been lost, who died, or continuing to have horrific health effects? What's your interaction been like with them?
Same as everybody else. Same amount of empathy, same amount of compassion, same amount of love. If you lost a loved one that day, we work closely with them. We work with everybody. You know, one way or another, even like the moving parts in the 9/11 community, those that lost a loved one that day, those that are sick, those that lost a loved one because of an illness, we're still all part of the 9/11 community. We all were affected by the aftermath of 9/11. And I personally don't have an issue with anybody. And I'm going to continue to do what I do until I can't do it anymore. You know, I look back, and I'm not one to reminisce, but I mean, if I didn't do this 24 years ago, who would have? Who would have? I didn't want to do this. You know, before we call it I Will Follow You Anywhere, Do It said, name the title, The Reluctant Advocate. And then, you know, like, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore, but I have no choice. It's bigger than me, and it keeps me humble, and it keeps me helping people. You know, we put about 10,000 people into the World Trade Center Health Program a year.
By the way, the book is I Will Follow You Anywhere, the true story of the 9/11 responders who took on Congress. What is that program? What is the World Trade Center Health Program? And let's put up a website, folks. I don't know how people access it, but we'll put up. What happens when they go to the web? What happens when they go to the website, John? What do they get? What does it do to help people?
The World Trade Center is one half of the James Sidroga Health and Compensation Act.
Tell everyone, Sidroga,
James Sedroga was a New York City police officer in the first autopsy confirmed 9/11. He wasn't the first person to die from a 9/11 related illness, but he was the first autopsied. And they attacked him because of the way he passed away and died, and they dishonored his name until we proved science again that he died from a 9/11 related illness. And how he died was none of it should never have been questioned. But the James Sedroga Health and Compensation Act, Healthcare, World Trade Center Health Program, if you were affected by 9/11 and you live south of Canal Street to the water to the Brooklyn Bridge, you can go into the program and get free health care if they find your illness is certified and because of 9/11. And then you have 2 years from that day to file a claim to get compensated for your illness. You know, I want everybody who's entitled to go into these programs. A lot of people say, no, I don't want to go in because I don't want to take money from heroes. There's enough money till 2090 for everybody. And we implore everybody, if you know somebody who is there, down there, to get into the program. It's free healthcare. You don't want to do it for yourself, do it for your loved ones.
Hey, John, you said you don't want to be doing this anymore.
No.
What do you mean?
I got hurt at 34. I'm 59 years old. This has been almost half of my life now. This isn't what I was supposed to do. This is something that made me do it. You know, my mother.
No, John, respectfully, no one made you do this. You're right.
You know what? That's like when people say, I sacrificed this or I sacrificed that for you. You're right where you want to be. The word sacrifice we use too freely. There's an old saying, horses that go to war don't dance at weddings. And I've missed a lot of weddings and a lot of anniversaries and a lot of parties and a lot of milestones in other people's lives because I was too big. What I learned, Steve, is
because you were fighting the fight.
Correct.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Pick up your point.
There's a big difference between advocacy and activism. Advocacy advocacy to me is a couple hours a week or on a Saturday afternoon. Activism is 24/7. I get phone calls at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the afternoon, 9 o'clock at night. It doesn't end. It doesn't stop. People need help because of the aftermath of 9/11. And Congress and the Senate has failed these men and women. And I can blame it on a lot of things because of ideologies, but it's really ideologies.
But what's the difference?
Ideologies is something that you believe in and it's hard to change your mind. Ideologies is just you're born stupid and you're ignorant. And most members of Congress, there's such a high turnover every 2 years that we have to re-educate them that they have so many people in their congressional district that are sick from the aftermath of 9/11.
Yeah, real quick on this, a few minutes left. People say, we'll never forget or always remember. Do you think some people want to forget?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you ask the 9/11 community at large.
Or not know, because it is 25 years, and there's those who are younger and those who are so young, they didn't remember. So it's like, I don't want to think about that. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
We don't give the younger generation enough credit because we speak at a lot of schools, colleges, high schools, middle schools, and these kids get it. The internet is your friend if you use it right. And, you know, it's older people around my age that want to forget about it or they don't want to bring it up. But if you ask the 9/11 community, did America forget about them? Most of them will say yes. I disagree. America's on fire right now, Steve. And a lot of people are trying to find a job or put food on the table or pay their utilities. And when 9/11 comes around, they absolutely remember it. And they remember those who died that day. But if you lost your parents when you were 6 years old in a car crash, you would get on with your life and you would remember them on anniversaries and holidays and their birthdays. We're programmed to move forward. But if we're going to move forward, let's not forget those that are still suffering.
Speaking of moving forward, how does this book or writing this book, how has it helped you? I don't even want to say move forward, but how has it helped you?
Well, there's a couple of reasons why I wrote this. One, to find my way home. because I haven't been home in 25 years. But there were so many books written in the past by John Stewart, by Senator Gillibrand, by Dr. Luft from Stony Brook World Trade Center Health Program, by other people, that I have a whole chapter in my story. And yeah. I wanted to tell my story so other people wouldn't have to. But I wanted America to know it wasn't just John Stewart and John Field. It was a handful of other people that walked the halls of Congress with their own illnesses and joined me in that fight. And this took a village to get these bills passed, these pieces of legislation. And it's not only in D.C. We passed a couple in New Jersey, several in Albany, and one in Michigan. And I give everybody the recipe on how to get legislation passed in the book. And if I could do it, trust me, anybody could do it.
Their testimony, many of the chapters, Phil Rizzo's testimony, Danielle Holbrook's testimony. You go through the book, their testimony from different people. There's James Ryder's testimony. Why, got a minute left. Why was and why is, John, the testimony of these folks, many of whom are not here anymore?
Yeah. I wanted America to know it was just not the two Johns, and it was a handful of other people, a handful of great people. You know, really quick, back in 2018, when I asked my number one team leader, Rich, to ask everybody to come back for the 2019 fight, I think it happened and would have said no, because they all got their BCF awards. They all had money. They were going to live out the rest of their lives. Boy, John was a pain in the ass, and he wasn't going to be nice to me.
John Stewart was a pain in the ass.
Yeah. But every single one of them said yes. Not one person said no. Wow. And I went into D.C. with 35, 40 people who knew what it took to get a piece of legislation passed. And John Stewart helped us get it over the finish line.
Hey, listen, go on John Field's website. Check out his foundation. Also, September 17th, he's at the 92nd Street Y with John Stewart. The two Johns telling their story and trying to make a difference. The book is I Will Follow You Anywhere, the true story of the 9/11 responders who took on Congress. Thank you, my friend. We wish you all the best. You have an open invitation.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Good seeing you again.
Always. That's a good guy making a difference. We'll see you next time.
Think Tank with Steve Adubato is a production of the Caucus Educational Corporation. Funding has been provided by Seton Hall University, PSEG Foundation, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, Braven Health, the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, RWJ Barnabas Health. Learn more at rwjbh.org. EJI Excellence in Medicine Awards, a New Jersey Health Foundation program. United Airlines. And by the Northward Center. Promotional support provided by NJBIA and by bestofnj.com.
This is the story of every flight to every place you'll ever have to take ever. There's the one you'll take across an ocean or back home to the kids' table. All the flights to all the places when all your friends get married in the same year. The work one, the fancy work one. The flights you'll take with them and the ones you'll take without them. And all the flights in between. Because when we built the world's biggest airline, we built it around you.
The Northward Center continues to expand their services and outreach in Newark from the childhood years to the golden years, offering programs like preschool, youth leadership development, Casa Israel adult medical day program, our Family Success Center, as well as a gymnasium. And most recently, Hope House, a permanent home for adults with autism, supporting and nurturing our autism community, with Hope House 2 coming soon. The North Ward Center, we're here when you need us.
Public service is what we do. At the PSEG Foundation, through volunteer hours, partnerships, and our other contributions, we're committed to empowering communities. We work hand in hand with you, our neighbors, to educate young people, support research, environmental sustainability, and equitable opportunities, provide training and other services all over New Jersey and Long Island. Uplifting communities, that's what drives us, the PSEG Foundation.
The EJI Excellence in Medicine Awards was established in 1939, shining a light on New Jersey's healthcare leaders. Current awards include excellence in medicine, research, medical education, and community service. EJI also funds annual scholarships to medical, dental, pharmaceutical, and physician assistant students throughout the state. Learn more at ejiawards.org.